Good morning, Midland First. I am Reverend Bethany Machieski, and I am the Associate Pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And it is a gift to be with you this morning and for us to worship together, whether we are in the sanctuary, online, or listening on the radio. We have some announcements this morning for you, and Pastor Jeremy would like to announce those.
Thank you, Pastor Bethany.
Absolutely.
Several announcements to highlight as we are getting going here in the fall. We're returning to our two-service schedule next Sunday, September 15th. So that brings our 9 a.m. traditional worship service and then the 11 a.m. contemporary worship service with fellowship time after each of the services, Sunday school for children during both services, youth group and adult Sunday school at 10:15, and then our Sunday friendship lunch and outreach meal for those in need at 11 o'clock. And so quite a bit changes there to our summer schedule, so if you'll make note of that in the e-blast or in our Sunday bulletin, you'll keep up with our Sunday mornings here at Midland First. Also want to draw attention to the insert in this Sunday's bulletin regarding the startup of our adult small groups. There's five offerings on that insert ranging from Sunday morning to throughout the week. If you'll note, the Bible study that I will be leading on Wednesday mornings we'll meet in the parlor and start on September 18th. If you have any questions about any of the groups that are meeting, wish to be a part of them, or wish to learn more about them, encourage you to contact the church office, and they will connect you with the appropriate leader. Finally, I want to highlight for you and remind you of our church's participation in the Midland Area Communities Foundation Neighboring Week initiative, which takes place later in September. We're going to be participating in that. One of the ways that we are doing that is assembling a good number of popping in bags. And so that will have microwave popcorn and Halloween-type candy for us to drop off at the doorsteps of our neighbors. We'll have bags that the congregation can pick up on September 22nd and be intentional about being neighborly in their own neighborhoods. And then we're also going to have a team that is coming together to drop off those bags at the apartments at Pathfinder Commons, just right next door on Jerome Street and West Buttles. And so if you're planning to donate towards that cause, whether microwave popcorn or some of your own Halloween candy that you might be gathering, invite you to donate that by this coming Monday. Those bags will be assembled this coming week. And so if you'll do so, encourage you to drop off those donations by tomorrow. All this is part of a larger initiative through Midland County to grow and build up a deeper sense of community within our neighborhood, and certainly want to be a part of that. So I encourage you to be mindful and share in the church's participation in Neighboring Week later in September. And I believe we have also an announcement from Hillary regarding all of our festivities with Kickoff Sunday. Yeah, I asked Hillary this morning if she had planned Kickoff Sunday to be this Sunday in accordance with the college football schedule. You might know
no.
Hillary's Texas Orange and my Herding Maize and Blue, but Hillary, if you'll let us know no. what's taking place today.
That was serendipitous or a function of the Holy Spirit.
God's timing is good.
All depends on your worldview.
God's timing is good.
That's right. It's here. Welcome to Kickoff Sunday at Midland First. Please join us for lunch and the fun. We are going to ask everyone to enter at the main Fitzhugh corner, because we're going to sign in. There's also some information about the ministry fair. So Pastor Bethany will be at that table. You can also pick up a sports-themed name tag. And then you can walk down the block and see the activities and fun, which I hope people enjoy. And the food is at the Larkin Fitzhugh intersection. You must sign in to eat. And then our food service people requested that I ask, that I let you know that they're very anxious about having a long line waiting for food. So feel free to stop and play a game or visit with your friends. Eat when you're hungry. There's plenty of food, but they don't want a bottleneck. So if we could help them out, that would be great. And so it's a special day of fellowship. And I think Jesus is going to be there too.
Let us turn and greet one another this morning.
Good morning. Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's great, right?
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
As we begin our worship today with Shine, Jesus, Shine. song is I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me, and it's a groovy spiritual. I encourage you to not stand still in your pew. I encourage you to clap. And I encourage you to sing loud, because this song is a testimony to what God is doing with our lives.
This time I'd like to invite forward those who are heading on the mission trip this week to Newberry. As you know, as a congregation, our mission, our agreed upon mission for the church is to help people know, love, and share Jesus Christ. And part of that sharing of Jesus Christ is going beyond the sanctuary, going beyond these walls, and going out and sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And so we have a team that is assembled to head on a mission trip to Newberry. And I'm going to invite John Horton to share a little bit more about the team and a little about the work that they will be doing. John.
Good morning. 14 of us head out to Newberry up in the Upper Peninsula tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And we have a number of projects to do, but before I say something about those, if you ever thought of going on a mission trip with a group of adults from this church, the rewards that you would receive are beyond measure. It's a fantastic time with a lot of very nice people, and we do a lot of good work. We've got some construction that needs to be done. One of the projects involves opening up a wall on a parsonage in Paradise and installing a 6-foot wide patio door. We've got a deck that needs to be framed and the deck top put on. We've got a dormer on a house that has been sided, but we have to replace a window and side the dormer. And we've got a situation in a bathroom where there's a toilet that wobbles all over the place, and the person that uses it is an amputee and runs a chance of falling off, and so we have to do that. We've got some miscellaneous painting to be done at the center, and this will be the second year in a row that we've gone when they have a clothing giveaway on Wednesday for the entire community. This organization used to be called God's Country Cooperative Parish, and with changes that have taken place, it is now God's Country Community Ministries. We're looking to have a great time with great food. Three of the people that are going are cooks, Chuck and Denise Link, and my wife, Marilyn. Wish us well. Not on the food.
Thank you, John. You know, you may be wondering or maybe thinking as you hear John share about the work that, my goodness, I'm not gifted in that way to do construction on a home or to improve a home in that way. 18 years ago, John and a good number of adults took me on a mission trip. Now, I'm not very good with the screwdrivers or know much about construction, but we have very gifted leaders here who do and who can put you to work, and that you can be the hands and feet of Jesus, as John was alluding to. And so I want to encourage you that if you're hearing about this work and think, gosh, I wish I could do that but don't have the skills, know that we have gifted people to put you to work and to let Jesus shine through you. So I'm going to invite us now, no, not because of who's cooking, but because of the work that can be done and the opportunity to share Jesus. I'm going to invite you to, if you're comfortable doing so, to stretch your arms out towards our mission team as we pray for them. Almighty God, indeed, and as you have heard us sing, we're going to work, we're going to pray, we're going to sing so that you can work through us as a church, but in particular through this team of members who will be going to God's cooperative or God's Country Cooperative Ministries to share Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would bless their work, that you would keep them safe on the road, that you would use their willingness and their skills to improve the homes of others, to do the work that is needed, indeed to bring your presence with them. We do pray also for the fellowship that they will share with one another and those that they cross paths. Lord, may they encounter you in a powerful way that all would know of your continued love and the continued grace as together we build up the kingdom of God here. So your blessings upon them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Sorry, had to check my to-do list. Could all the children join us? Come on down. Good morning, everybody. Violet, you want to come up here? Okay. Welcome to Kickoff Sunday. And I just want to mention to the parents that when we're finished with our part of the worship, we are going to go outside and make a surprise for everyone. Hopefully we will be in the Sunday school room, but if the Sunday school room is empty, you can find your precious little ones outside. Welcome to Kickoff. You see people in lots of different colors showing off their favorite sports and sports team. Go green. Go blue. Go horns. Hail to the victors valiant. And just like the church always should be, there is room for everyone. Why do we come to church? Because we love God. That is the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Actually, with every breath you take. That's not in the Bible, sorry. So we come to church to worship this great, good God. And what is the other greatest commandment? To love your neighbor as yourself. Each one of us is a child of God, immensely loved by God. God's love is what makes each of us equal. One of my pastors, Dr. Carl Price, who I think is sitting in the sanctuary this morning, taught me to look for a glimpse of Christ in each human face I see. We are each equally loved and reflect that divine love. Let us pray.
Dear God, help us, please help us to love one another as you love us. You keep trying to teach us that every person is adored by you. Let us show we are learning by how we treat each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, guys. Whoops. Thank you.
Let us join together in our prayer song.
Try not to make noise.
Church, welcome again.
If you were here last week, you saw something very similar to this, and so we're going to reprise our community prayer with the victory chant. We'll ask you again, if you could please, I'll be saying the words, and you'll repeat after me with the kids. And both Hillary and I would really like to thank you all for your willingness and support of including the kids in worship. It's really important, and so we thank you very, very much. Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Your life frees me to sing.
Your life frees me to sing.
I will praise you all my days. You're perfect in all your ways.
You're perfect in all your ways.
Hail Jesus, you're my Lord.
Hail Jesus, you're my Lord.
I will obey your word. I want to see your kingdom come.
I want to see your kingdom come.
Not my will, but yours be done.
Not my will, but yours be done.
Glory, glory to the Lamb. You take me into the land. I will conquer in your name. And proclaim that Jesus reigns. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah.
Hail, hail, Lion of Judah.
How powerful you are.
How powerful you are.
Hail, hail, Lion of Judah.
Hail, hail, Lion of Judah.
How wonderful you are. We ask you to join us for the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We thank our children again for leading us in worship and in our prayer. Something I'm mindful of, I don't know if this was an intention of the theme, but I'm mindful of a couple of things about our congregation as I see our colors in our t-shirts. One is how gifted we are. What a great gift we have as I see Kayla's swimming and diving t-shirt and Allison's marching band t-shirt. It's a reminder of the gifts and the offerings that we all have to offer God. And yes, as much as it would do to warm my Wolverine heart to see a sea of maize and blue, It's wonderful to see the diversity in schools represented here and teams, and it's a reminder of how we come together to offer to God what is good. And it's a blessing to see that lived out in the church. Indeed, this is a time that we set aside for the giving of our tithes and offerings and reminder of all that we offer up to God as worship, yes, today, but also throughout the week. If you are a guest or a member here, I encourage you to fill out the friendship pads in the pews or leave us a comment in the comment section of the platform you are viewing the worship service on this day. This helps us to stay connected as a church and to care for one another. Indeed, if you are a guest of the congregation, if this is one of your first times here, we invite you to sit back and to be mindful of the blessings that God is pouring into your lives. For our members and for our congregation, this is an opportunity for those who wish to and are able to financially support the mission and ministry of the church. And so at this time, I'd like to invite forward our ushers for this morning's offering.
The hell?
please stand for the doxology?
Almighty God, already in our worship today, whether it's through the commissioning of a mission team, being led in worship by our children, or the ministries of our musical groups and choirs and bands, we're reminded of how you have enriched our lives for the work of the church. We pray that you would take our worship. We pray that you would take these gifts and place your blessings upon them, O Lord, that others might know this love and grace that we know so well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition. From there, he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join with me in prayer? God, may the words of my lips and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. We love you and we thank you so much for the privilege that it is to hear you speak through your word. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, and there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There, the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. For your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness. That is Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 6. And it paints a picture of what was and is to come in the kingdom of God and for God's people. Our passage from Mark today surely echoes the last two verses in what I read from you from Isaiah, Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness. Each of the writers of the account of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have their own way of talking about the life of Jesus Christ here on earth. Each have chosen specific details to include that help us to understand the overall nature of God and the Messiah, God's Son, Jesus the Christ. This is similar to how we might each tell the same story and place emphasis on different details. It doesn't make my telling right and someone else's wrong. Rather, they're simply two different perspectives with the same bottom line. Mark has collected eyewitness accounts and crafted the lens through which we view the details. He chooses to forgo details that others include, like the birth narrative and the specific temptations that Jesus endured in the wilderness. But Mark is intentional about being very clear in his storytelling. He doesn't mince his words when announcing, "This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him." That is Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In our passage today, Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37, Mark juxtaposes the Pharisees' critique of Jesus' disciples as they fail to abide by Jewish washing rituals with two healing miracles. One of a young girl with an evil spirit, and the other, the healing of a man who is deaf with a speech impediment. This is an important detail because in recognizing the lens through which Mark is explaining who Jesus is and why he came, we see the contrast between the world and the kingdom of God. Jesus left Galilee and went up to Tyre, where he met the Syrian Phoenician woman. And then he traveled to Sidon, where the deaf man was brought to him. These were both considered Gentile regions, meaning the individuals were outside the Jewish faith. The text does not tell us how these individuals, and in the man's case, his friends, heard about Jesus. In fact, as I was reading and preparing to preach today, I realized just how much the text does not tell us and just how much we miss with regard to nuance by only having these accounts in written form. For example, when we read about the conversation between Jesus and this Gentile woman, perhaps at first read we're caught off guard because it sounds like Jesus is rebuking her. It is possible to interpret this conversation that way, I suppose. However, it's important to remember that we aren't hearing Jesus' tone of voice or vocal inflection. And a rebuke by Jesus here doesn't seem to align with what we know about how he responds with compassion in other passages that healing takes place. Perhaps it seems he is challenging this woman, not harshly, but as a way of inviting her into deeper faith in him, and so that he can acknowledge the promise made to Israel. It was always God's plan to include the Gentiles. It is God's plan that everyone on earth will someday acknowledge him. Isaiah says so in what he prophesies. In Isaiah 45, verse 23, and Paul gives this message to the churches in Rome, which we read in Romans 14, 11. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus actually gives this woman the space to ask for what she wants. He sees her, and she sees him for who he is. If we look closely at the analogy, we see Jesus encouraging this woman to exercise faith. What he says is true in a spiritual sense and a literal sense. And so is what the woman says. And anyone that has a dog can probably attest that when it's dinner time, they are right next to the table waiting to be given something or for food to drop onto the floor. Kudos to you if you've never given your pet anything but their own food. You have way more willpower than I do. And I know of a certain Australian shepherd that really likes popcorn. And when she knows I have some, she'll sit eagerly in front of me, waiting until I give her some. And I can't resist that much cuteness. So again, kudos to you if you've never given your pet anything but their own food. In this analogy that the woman introduces, she acknowledges her place with regard to the Jews and the promises made, but she isn't afraid to be bold because she believes that Jesus can heal her daughter. Whatever she's heard about him has brought her here in front of Jesus, and it is, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs," to which Jesus says, "It is done." We don't know what they said. The ones who brought the deaf man to Jesus for his ears and his mouth to be opened. But what we see throughout the gospel is ultimately Jesus heals to show the people the kingdom of God in a crystal clear way. That is what healing illustrates. That's not the only way. He says, this is who God is, and this is what God's kingdom is like. Do you remember what I said the last time I preached on a passage impacted by someone healed? I preached on Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31 on June 23rd. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, talks about the healing of a man who is lame outside of the temple. And Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31 is impacted by that. I couldn't talk about one without talking about the other. In my sermon then, I talked about how the healing that took place in Acts chapter 3 isn't as important as who the healer is and knowing the healer. Certainly, the lives of those who were healed, the young girl and the man, and their families were impacted too. They were changed forever. The purpose was to bring God glory, the most glory possible. What we do here on this earth, our purpose is to bring God the most glory possible, to be so close to God that not only are our lives a reflection of Him, but others see that and want to be close to Him too. Our purpose is to know God and to make Him known. Here at Midland First, the language we use is to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. Other churches say the same, but they use some different language. They use different words. But that's the bottom line for our whole lives, not just when we're here in church. What we see in these two healings is that these individuals come to Jesus with trust, hope, and humility, expecting to receive what they ask for. I think these examples that Mark gives are important for a few different reasons. One, it's really bold for these individuals to approach Jesus, both because of their need and because they were outside of the Jewish faith. They didn't have the knowledge that they were part of God's plan. And the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, didn't understand either. And they were in need of help and healing. I certainly don't want to read into the text and make it say what I want it to say. That's something we have to be really careful not to do when we study Scripture. It can be easy to look at a passage and see what we hope for and move on, assuming that God is telling us what we want to hear. That's not always the case. It's important to look really closely and ask God to help us to see and hear Him clearly by the power of the Holy Spirit. I say that because the text doesn't tell us all that these two people have already done to get where they were standing in front of Jesus, asking for a miracle. We don't want to overstep our bounds with what we do and we don't read in the text, But most likely, they had hoped for healing for a long, long time. Coming to Jesus was bold because they were taking a risk, the risk of not getting what they asked for. But in taking the risk, they showed huge faith. They trusted in what they had heard about Jesus enough to be bold and to come before him expecting that he would do as he had already done for others. The second reason that I think these examples are important is because they show that the kingdom of God has expanded beyond what anyone expected. They illustrate that Jesus has also come for the Gentiles, and that the truth of who Jesus is had spread far and wide. The more that Jesus told people not to tell, the more that they told. It is perhaps true that Jesus told them not to tell because there were certain works that he could not do in certain places, as we read about in Scripture. Because word had spread and religious leaders were looking to kill him. And yet, we know with absolute certainty that God knows us better than we know ourselves. Jesus knew that the word would spread, and he expected that. We don't know why Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon. Maybe it was just for this woman's daughter and the deaf man. Maybe he didn't do any more miracles in either of those cities, but those two are enough. We don't know all the ins and outs and the why behind these healings, but we know that faith in Jesus spread because these miracles took place. And we know that Jesus goes out of his way. He goes out of his way to meet people who are desperate for him right where they are. And when he leaves them, they are changed forever. Jesus flips the script. He changes the narrative. He changes the lives of generations because he wants us to know and to experience God's best for us. That's what we were created for, to know and to love God, to enjoy him. So then, what can we take away from these examples in which Jesus heals two individuals? When Mark shows us examples of how the kingdom of God breaks into the world in a very clear way, even though the Pharisees couldn't recognize him for who he is and they didn't understand, but the kingdom of God was right in front of them because God had come in the flesh. I believe it's this. Come to God with bold expectations. Come to God expecting him to give you his best. And be humble in doing so. Walk in humility above all else. Faith and humility are one in the same, and that is what Jesus invites us to. Don't limit what you believe God can do by looking at the world around you and seeing the impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. We are not promised an easy life. And we are not promised to get everything we want in this life. There are times when we don't get the healing that we ask for. But when we have God, we have everything that we could ever want. And we have everything that we could ever need. Everything else is a signpost pointing to his goodness, his mercy, his joy, and his love for us. Everything else is an invitation into the kingdom of God. It is because we serve a risen Savior who died on the cross for all of our sin, all of our pain, all of our frustration, our confusion, that the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God doesn't want anything to separate us from Him. So be bold and ask for what you need and what you want. Tell God everything that's on your heart. Because no matter what, God is right there. During the outpouring, what is so called the outpouring, in February of 2023, I had a friend come over to me as we were worshiping in Hughes Auditorium. And he was somewhat across the room, and he came over to me and said, "I saw you worshiping." And he said, "You have a beautiful faith. And before I go any further, I want to clarify that this story is not about me." And he said, "You have a beautiful faith." And he said, "I asked God if I could pray for your healing. And he gave me a surprising answer. And he said no. And he said, her disability is part of her beautiful faith. And I give you that example today, not as a way of pointing to myself, but because I don't want us to get tripped up when sometimes we don't get what we ask for. That is not a reason to not pray bold prayers. And so I want to clarify that. Because God is close to us in joy and in sorrow. And He uses both to draw us to Himself. Because ultimately, the best place for us to be is right next to Him, walking closely with Him, whether that is with our feet or with mobility devices or devices that help us to hear and to see. Until our faith is made sight and we see Him face to face. In this new season in the life of Midland First that we kick off today, God is inviting us to walk even closer to Him and to experience Him and His love for us even more so. Let's pursue knowing Him, loving Him, and being transformed into the image of His Son as we lay ourselves down at His feet. That's better than any prize we could win in this life, or better than any freedom that we could imagine in terms of mobility. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And now we will sing our final song together. Before I give the benediction, I would like to offer grace for our meal this afternoon, and I would also like to invite you to exit through the doors behind me. That will be the easiest way to get where you want to go. And so then let me pray for our meal for us. God, thank you so much for the privilege that it is to worship here together. Lord, thank you for the fellowship time that we get as we exit these doors. Lord, thank you for the food that has been prepared for us and for the hands that have prepared it. Please bless it to our bodies so that we may do your will better. We love you and we thank you so much. We pray all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Cheers.